Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. Opening the shear, you will see a series of diamonds. This is a marking that we started in our previous shear, where we have a series of averos, of sins, and the Gemara tells us what the result of these violations will be. So continuing with the list of averos, Bavon Inui Hadin, the Ivus Hadin, the Kilkul Hadin, Ubitul Torah. You have 4 averos that are listed. Inui Hadin is a situation where a verdict has been reached in a judgment, but it hasn't been issued. In other words, the Dayonim know what the conclusion of the case is, but they delay in announcing it. Rashi, on the 4th line from the top, says, Inui Hadin, Shema Achrin HaDayonim Loduno. The judges delay in judging, v'lo l'shem shamayim, not for purposes of additional clarification, elo le'achar shehuvru lehem adin. Rather, we're talking about a case where after the case has been clarified, in other words, they know what the decision should be, mash in oisoi, they delay issuing their verdict. That's inui hadin. Now, ivus hadin is where they contort justice. Kilkul Hadin, Rashi says, Shilohu Misunimbo, La'ayin Kol Sorchon, V'niskalke Me'elov. They were too rash or too hurried in their judgment, and correct justice as a result did not result. Bitul Torah is the non-learning of Torah, the abandoning of Torah learning when one could be engaged in that. So what is the result of these averos? The Gemara now will list the different punishments that result, and then we'll show, as we have seen in the past, we'll show through psukim how one sees these cause and effects. So the result is cherev ubizo rabo. Cherev is murder or death through killing, and plundering will increase. V'dever ubatzores bo, dever is pestilence and famine come. Uvnei odom oichlin v'einon sveim, people will eat and will not derive satisfaction. V'oichlin lachma b'mishkol, and the bread that they have they will eat in measured amounts. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'yvesi alechem cherev nokemes nekam bris. The pasuk says, I'll bring upon the people a vengeful sword that avenges the covenant. V'ein bris elo Torah. The term bris is a reference to Torah. Shenema im lo brisi yoimum v'layla. The pasuk here uses the term bris, and yoim v'layla is a reference to Torah, day and night, as the pasuk says elsewhere, v'gisa bo yoimum v'layla. You shall study Torah day and night. Uksiv b'shivri lochem mate lechem v'ofu eser noshim uksiv yan ubiyan b'mishpatai mo'asu. And these psukim are all in the same context, as you can see in Vayikra Chofov, in the Parshas B'chukosai of the Toichacha, where because they were mo'as b'mishpat, where they contorted and ruined justice, so these things resulted where the matel lechem, the staff of bread, is broken, and that of course is a reference to famine and other punishments that are mentioned there in the Torah. But avon, the Gemara continues with more sins. But avon shvuas shav, shvuas sheker, the sins of swearing empty oaths. The Chua Shav, Rashi explains, is Mishanes Yadua, where someone swears changing the obvious, where he swears about a man that that's a woman, or about a piece of rock that it's a piece of, that it's foam. Shua Sheker is a simple, a straightforward lie, that something that we wouldn't notice on our own. It's not something that's obvious, like is the case in Shua Shav, but nevertheless, it's a lie, and he swears thusly. The Chilul Hashem, a case where Rashi defines Chilul Hashem, where a person who's of stature sins and others learn from him. Rashi, let us learn the Rashi inside. It's very important to define this term Chilul Hashem, as it is a term that at times is bandied about in an inaccurate fashion. So Rashi says Chilul Hashem Odom Godol. It's a reference to a man of standing, of stature. Shebnei Odom Lumeidim Himenu, that others learn from him. The Eino Nizer B'Maisov. And this Odom Godol is not careful in his behavior. Nimsu Haktanim Mezalzlin B'Tura Al Yodo. And as a result, the commoners, the smaller ones, are going to demean and defame the Torah through him. V'omrim Zehu Mevin She'ein Mamish B'Torah V'Mitzvahs V'Nimsa Hashem Mischalel Nase Dvorov Chulin. As a result of people learning from his ways, then the words of Hashem become profane. The result of these averis and Chilul Shabbos also is in this list. Chaya ro'o rabo, malicious animals will be on the increase. Ubehema kola, and cattle will cease. Ubnei odo mismatim, and the population will dwindle. Vahadrochim mishtemimim, and the ways, the highways, the roads will be empty. Without travelers, Shenemar v'im be'ela lo tivosru li, al tikri be'ela abola ola. The pasuk once again from the subsection of the Torah of the Teichacha, the section of curses, mentions v'im be'ela, and we're saying don't read it as be'ela, but rather be'ola. Be'ola means swearing or oaths. So the term ola includes shvuas sheker and shvuas shav. And uksiv vishlachti bochem eschayes asode, and I will send amongst you the animals of the fields, the wild animals. Uksiv b'shua sheker v'lo sishavu b'shmi l'sheker v'chilalta shem elokecha. In regard, in the case of shua sheker, the term chilul Hashem is found. Don't, as the pasuk says, don't swear in a sheker, in a lying fashion, which will profane the name of the Almighty. Ubechilu Hashem k'siv lo sechalu Hashem kodshi. Ubechilu Shabbos k'siv mechalel mois yumos. So you see that in these different offenses, chilul Shabbos, chilul Hashem, chilul shvua sheker, we see the term chilul used. The olif chilul mishvua sheker, and the punishments that are due to each one of the other offenses are learned from that which is said by that which it says by shvua sheker. We look in the Rashi, and you can see he says Elo be'ola v'yesh b'mashma bein shov bein sheker k'siv b'shvua sheker v'chilalto b'shavus chilul Hashem k'siv chilul v'gamrinon mishvua. And with this, we'll call it the string of chilul words, we go back and learn from the original shvua offense where the pasuk said, I will cast amongst you the wild animals, etc. The Gemara continues, b'avon shvichus domim, as a result of murder, Beis HaMikdash Chorev, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Ushchinah Mesalkes Yisrael, and the Divine Presence leaves the people of Israel. Shenemar, V'lo Sachanifu, V'lo Setam Es Oretz, Asher Atem Yoshvim Bo, Asher Ani Shochen B'socha. That pasuk is saying that do not defile the land and thereby I will remain in your midst. And we infer, ho atem etam enoiso, but if you do defile through murder, einchem yoshvin bo, v'eini shochem besocho. So I won't continue dwelling in your midst, and you won't dwell in there either. Hence a reference to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the subsequent exile. Bavon gilu arayis v'riz kechovim v'ashmotu shmitim v'yovlos, as a result of sinning in the area of morality, namely forbidden intimacy and idol worship, and the non-observance of the Shemitah and Yovel years, Golus bo li'olam u'maglin oison, exile comes and dispersion comes and we're cast out of the land, u'boin achirm v'yoshvin b'mkoman, and others come and dwell in our stead. She'ne'emar ki esko ta'evo so'el osu anshi oretz, Uksiv vatitma ha'aretz ve'efkoid avoyna oleha. So the Pasuk says that they performed all the abominations that they were not supposed to do, and the land was defiled. Uksiv lo soki ha'aretz eschem betomachem oisa. And it says that in order to stay in the land, that it shouldn't vomit you out, so don't defile it. Hence you see that if the one does defile it, so the land will cast us out. In the context of idol worship it says, V'nosati es pigrechem, uksiv ha-shimoisi es mikdashechem, pigrechem are corpses, ha-shimoisi es mikdashechem, I will cause the temple to be desolate, v'eschem ezera b'goyim, and I will cast you amongst the nations of the world. And b'shmitim u'biyovlos k'siv oz tirtze aretz eshav siso k'me hoshama v'atem b'aretz eivechem. And regarding the violation of Shemitah and Yovel, it says that we will be cast out of the land, and the land will then be able to make up its lost Shemitahs and all the years that it lies fallow. As it should have been done at once every 7 years, but as a result of not fulfilling that mitzvah, there will be a continuous chain of fallow years because the people are simply cast out. Uksiv koyame hashama tishbos, all the days or the years of desolation, so the land will be at rest. Bavoin nivlas pe tzorois rabois, xeros koshis mischachois, for the sin of nivul pe. The Gemara later on will define nivul peh, but it has to do with speech that is of an immoral nature, of an immodest and immoral nature. So for the sin of nivul peh, tzorois rabois ugzeros koshos mischachos, many troubles and edicts, bad tough edicts are issued. Ubachuri Soine Yisrael Mesim, and the youth of the nation of Israel die, the people die young. Yisim Amonis Tsokim Venom Nenim, orphans and widows call out for assistance, for help, and they're not answered. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, Al Kain, Al Bachurov lo Yismach Hashem Ves Yisimov Ves Amonoisov lo Yurachim, Ki Huloi Chonef Umera. The Cholpe Doiver Nevola, Cholzos Lo Shov Apo, V'Oid Yodoi Netunyo. So in this Pasuk, you see a reference, you see the term Cholpe Doiver Nevola. That's a reference to the mouth that speaks Nivlus, Nivul Peh, as we mentioned before, speech that's of an immoral or immodest nature. And it mentions in this Pasuk that the the Almonos and the Yisoimim will not receive mercy. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, "V'oid yodo nintuyo," literally, and with all of the punishments that follow, still the hand remains outstretched. My v'oid yodo nintuyo. What does that mean? Amr of Chonon bar Rava, hakol yoidim kala lama nichnas alachup. Everyone knows why a bride enters the marriage ceremony. Everyone knows it's to live together as husband and wife, but it's not something that one has to talk about. Rather, anyone who does speak about a filu chosmin Olav Gzardin Shel Shivim Shana L'Toiva, even if he was a person that had a Gzardin, a heavenly decree of 70 good years, and then he engages in Nivol Peh, Hoifchen Olav L'Ra, it's turned over into bad. Omar Rabo Bar Shila Omar of Chisda, Kol Menabil Espiv Ma'amikim Lo Gehenim. Anyone who engages in Nivol Peh, the purgatory is made deeper for him. Shinemar Shoichamuka Pi Zorus. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar Af Shomeh V'Shosek. Not only is one who speaks the Nivol Peh, is the Gehenna made deeper, as the Pasuk says, Sheikha Muka is the deep pit for the Pizoros, for the mouth that speaks the profane, but Rav Nachman adds, even one who listens to it and remains silent, doesn't protest. Shinema, the Pasuk says over there in Mishlei Chof Beis, Zohom Hashem Yipol Sham. And Rashi explains on this Pasuk, toward the end of the narrow lines, Zom Hashem Yipol Sham, Zam Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hu Shore Sham Eitzel Pi Zorus, Ayoshev Etzlau, Vishomea, Korui Zeumoi Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. As we said, this posuk is in the same context as the posuk of one who speaks Pi Zorus. So the wrath of Hashem is present there, namely he's like in the position of one who is listening to it, and that is also something that arouses the wrath of Hashem, the listening and non-protesting the Nivol Peh. Omar Rav Hoshaya Kol HaMemarek Atzmoi Lavero Chaburos Uptsoyim Yoytzen Bo. Someone who opens himself up, who turns to sin, Rashi says, Mefana libo lekach, Memarek asmo mishara sokim lesasek bavera, someone who turns away from other activities to engage in sinful behavior. So the result of that is all kinds of bodily bruises, chaburos or injuries, and psoim are bruises start to emerge on his flesh. Shinema chaburos petza timrok bera. The lo od elosh nidoin behedroiken. A person who is memarik atzmo lavera is going to suffer this disease called hedroiken. Shinema umakis chadri boten. Hedroiken is a disease that's associated with the belly area of a person. Chadri boten. Omar of Nachmon bar Yitzchok. Simen lavero hedroken. If you see someone suffering this disease known as hedroken, that's a sign that he is a sinner. The Gemara that we are learning from, the Shas Ozer, offers on the side a topic heading. You can see under our no say heading, we have written Gimel Mine Hedroken. The Gemara now will delve into or expose us to the fact that there are three types of hedroken. It's this stomach or belly malady, but there are different forms of it. And after the three different kinds are presented, the Gemara then has incidents that we've highlighted with a double underline marking. You can see on the side under our Mivneh heading, we've written Rabbonon Dechoshu Bedroiken, examples of Rabbonon, the Shmuel HaKotan, Abayin, Rava, who suffered from Hedroiken, v'choshishu, and they were worried, shelo yachshidu, yachshidu, mishum baal avera, that they should not be suspect of being sinners, sha'alav alul Hedroiken lavo, that on a baal avera, there is a possibility of him suffering from Hedroiken. So they, these were outstandingly righteous individuals, and yet they suffered from Hedroiken, so naturally they were concerned that they shouldn't fall under suspicion of being a Baal Avera. So we now continue with the three kinds of Hedroiken. Tonu Rabbanan, Gimel Minei Hedroiken Hein, Shel Avera Ova. The Hedroiken we made reference to that comes as a punishment for someone who turns to sin So it's ova, literally it's thick. Rashi explains ova besoro, that's besoro miskashe ve'ov v'nafuch ba'ovi. His flesh becomes toughened or hardened and thick and bloated. The next is shel ra'av. There's hadroken that comes as a result of famine. And many of us may be familiar with pictures of populations that are suffering from extreme famine. So there's a tendency for the bellies to bloat. And that's shel ra'av tofuach, as tofuach means something that's bloated. For shel kshafim, there's hadroken that comes as a result of some type of spell cast on the individual. So that's dak. Rashi says, besoro dak v'kochush, his flesh is very thin and weak. Shmuel HaKotan Chosh Bey. Shmuel HaKotan was an outstandingly pious individual. He suffered from hadroken, Omar, and he said, Ribbono Shel Ami Mephis. He calls to the Almighty, who will bear witness, who will cast a lot, and inform the public that I am not a sinner. And as Rashi says, not everyone knows this source, that each kind of hadroken has a different characteristic. People just know in general that hadroken comes to people that sin. So even though the type of hadroken that Shmuel HaKotan was suffering from wasn't necessarily the ova kind featured in the source, but he knew that the general population doesn't know that level of detail, and he was concerned that who will cast a lot in my favor to announce that I am not a sinner. And with that prayer, so Itzi, he was healed. Abaye Chosh Bey. Abaye suffered from hadroken. Omar Rava, Yadana Bey Benachmeni de Machvin Nafshe. Nachmeni is a name given to Abaye, an alternative name. So he says, I know concerning Abaye that he famishes himself. And we saw before that hadroken can come as a result of famishing, but what Rava was saying was that I know that Abaye is not a sinner. The fact that he's suffering from hadroken, that's because he famishes himself. Rava Choshbe, Rava himself suffered from hadroken. V'ha Rava hu d'omer nefishik tilik kedar min nefichei kofan. How can Rava be one to suffer from hadroken when he certainly wasn't one that would famish himself? Rashi says, "V'ha Rava di Omar," on the fourth wide line, "Klomar loma choshbo." Why would Rava suffer from hadroken? "V'ha lo her iv es atzmo." He wouldn't famish himself. Midikomar, from the fact that he said, "Yodano bey benachmeni," he says, "I know that Abaye famishes himself," so he knows that that's something to avoid doing. Michlal d'amariv atzmo rabeinov. We can infer that one who famishes himself is negative in Rava's eyes. V'i mishum shoyamashi nikovov. If it's because he withheld his need to relieve himself, in other words, after feeling a need to relieve himself in the facilities, namely to go to the bathroom, and if you think that maybe he suffered from a droiken, which could result from this type of behavior of mashen nikovov, v'amirim b'v'choros tsoya rabo, hadroiken rabo, if someone allows tsoya, dung, feces to accumulate in his system, so it will bring on a droiken, sha'al shihias nikovim hubo, it comes as a result of one who delays in relieving oneself. Well, Rava wouldn't have done that. As Rashi goes on to say, ihu amar nefishi ketile keda rabim harugi nekovim imusei hadroken sharov keda loshim kedera al shem sheshoifah kedera. He says Rava said that there are more people that die from hadroken that comes as a result of keeping one's waste inside, delaying relief, more than those that die of the hadroken that's associated with famine. So Rava wouldn't have been engaged in famines, in being famished. He wouldn't have withheld himself. The Gemara answers, Shiny Rava. In fact, Rava was a victim of being forced to withhold his bodily functions. The Ansi Le Rabbonin Beidne Baal Korche. The students, after his lecture, that's the idne is his time, literally, but it's his lecture, they would ask him questions, and he would oftentimes be in need to relieve himself, but because of the pressure to answer the questions, he would withhold himself, and that eventually brought on the Hadroikin. Tonu Rabbonan, Arba Simonim Hain. There are four signs. Simin Lehaveiro, Hadroikin, a sign of sin, is Hadroikin. Simin l'sinas chinam, a sign of wanton hatred, is Yerokon. Yerokon is another kind of disease. Simin l'gasis aruch, anius, a sign of haughtiness, is poverty. Simin l'loshen hora, askara, a sign that someone is engaged in the avera of Loshon Hara, evil speech, malicious speech concerning others, is the ailment known as Askara. Rashi describes Askara a little bit. He says, Chole Amasu Me'ayim, it's a disease that starts in the digestive tract, the Gomer Begoron, and it ends up rising through one's throat. And he tells you what it's called in French. Tonu Rabbonan. The Gemara continues, and before we continue in the Gemara, we just glance at the side under our Nosei heading, Askara V'Lama Hibo. Here we're going to continue talking about Askara and why it comes. So, Askara Boli Olam, the Gemara continues on Omid Beis, Al Hamaiser, because of people who violate the laws of tithing. They're tithing their produce. Rebelozer Rav Yossi Oimer, Al Loshen Hora. For one who maligns others in their speech. Omar Rava Vitamer of Shubin Levi, Rava, or some say Rabbi Shubin Levi, says, my kra, what's the posuk? Vamelech ismach belekim, yishalo kol nishba boi, ki yisocher pi dovre shoker. Yisocher is to... Is taken, as Rashi explains, to mean askara. The askara comes to the pi dovre sheker for those who speak falsehoods. That's loshen hara, or those that malign others. Ibay Eloho. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi here, the Gemara focuses on Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, who we saw on the top line. We have a little arrow that we provide to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text corresponding to the first line as well. So you can see where this is coming, where this is, the name is being referred to. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, he said that Askara comes for Loshon Hara. The Gemara, and we have this as our title for this section of Gemara under our Nosei, so let's read it. We've written on the side, Biur, clarification, Biur Shitas, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, the Omar Askara Bo al Loshen Hora. He said that Askara comes because of malicious speech. Aim ze benosaf al avon maisus olo. Is that in addition to the possibility of Askara coming for maisus, or no? Or maybe Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi says that Askara comes for Loshen Hora and not for maisus. So this is the kasha, the Gemara's question. Ibay Eloho, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, Aleph Oy Dilma Beis. Two sides of the question. Al Loshen Hora Komar. Did he say it comes for Loshen Hora? O Dilma Af Al Loshen Hora Nami Komar. Or did he say, is his intention in the top line of Gemara to say that it comes also for Loshen Hora? In other words, in addition to a punishment for Miser's violation, it can come also for Loshon Hara. The Gemara answers, Toshma. Now you'll notice, here we have a rather long Tanaic source. The frame indicates the length of this source. In addition to that, we also have a tuf that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled. This represents a teretz, an answer, and it's a long answer, and we've indicated the length with our vertical descending dash dotted line. To get more mileage out of the markings, we suggest looking at what we've dashed, underlined in the source. Some of the things for right now, there are more dashed underlines that we'll deal with later. But you notice you see where we've underlined Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi's name, and the line under that, there's a dashed underline She'oichlin bo dvorim she'enon mesukanim. That's consumption of non-tithed produce. So we see that he makes reference to that. And we'll see more as we go on. Toshma. So we are trying to find out what is Reb Elazar Reb Yossi Shita with regard to Askara and vis-a-vis Meiser. So the source says, Kishenichlis Rabbosin at Kerem B'Yavne, when the rabbis gathered in Kerem B'Yavne, this is a place. We'll say, Rashi says it's a ze beis hamedrash sheyosh v'nshuah shuros kikerem kachfush v'sham v'bracha. So it's a reference to a beis medrash where the rows of seats are set up like rows and rows of vines in a vineyard. Hence, it's called kerem is a vineyard b'Yavne in the city of Yavne. But it's a beis medrash in Yavne. So when the rabbis gathered there, Hoya Shom, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. These three rabbonim were there. Nishalo Shelazu Bifnehem. This question was raised in their presence. Mako Zu, that's Askara. Mipnei Ma, why is it the Maschelis Bifnei Mayim, Vigomers Bipet? It originates in the in one's internal organs, in one entrails, and eventually afflicts the mouth. Nene Rabuda Rabuloi Roish Hamadabra Bechomokom. So Rabuda Rabuloi answered, he has a title that's known as the primary speaker in all places. The Omar, and he answered, Afalpi Shekloyos Yotzos Valev Mavin Veloshin Mechatech Pe Gomer. This is a description of Loshen Hora, and he explains that even though the question here is why is it that it rises and afflicts the mouth also, so he answers that even though the kidneys are the source of counsel and the heart is the source of understanding and the tongue articulates letters that form words, the mouth finishes the job. So the Loshon Hora starts internally because a person's internal organs gave him counsel, so to speak, to speak the Loshon Hora, and it went through a thinking process, and then eventually it came out through his mouth. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Nene Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Fi Omar Lipnei. And then we have a line that's in brackets. We skip to the next line. He says, Mipnei she'oichlin bo dvorim she'enon mesukonim. A person eats with his mouth food that has not been tithed. Nene Rabbi Shimon V'Omar B'Avon Bitol Torah. Askara comes as a result of non-study of Torah. Omru Lo, they ask Rabbi Shimon, Noshim Yochichu, let women who are not charged with the mitzvah of Torah study, and yet there are women that suffer from Askara. So, they can prove counter to what you're saying. You're saying that because of non-Torah study, Askara comes. What about women that are not charged with Torah study, and yet they do suffer from it? The Gemara says, well, Shemivatlo says, Balehen. They bother their husbands. The women that suffer from Askara are guilty of Bittul Torah, not their own personal obligation of studying Torah, but the fact that they interfere with their husband's Torah study. Well, Nochrim Yochichu. Gentiles suffer from Askara, and they're not charged with Torah study. The Gemara answers, well, Shem Mevatlan is Yisrael. They are associated with Bittul Torah in the oppression that they afflict the Jewish people, causing them to learn less Torah. So they are guilty of Bittul Torah, and they're causing Bittul Torah of the Jews. Question, Tinokos Yochichu. Tinokos are young children. They're not charged with Torah study, and yet we find they suffer too from Askara. So the Gemara answers, Shemivatlin es Avihen. They're guilty of bothering their fathers and causing them to stop or learn less Torah. The Rashi on this, Tinokos Yochichu, She'eno b'nei limud. So we're talking about minors here, rather young children that are not capable of Torah study, and so that they can't be, you would say in the question level, that they can't find them guilty of Bittul Torah, and yet they do suffer from Askara. So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Shimon answered, Af hein ba'avoyim, they too are involved with the sin, Shemivatlin es avim, they bother their fathers, lo lichon lachama ulitzonein, to take them to say take them swimming in hot water and cold water, ulafaison begozim, and literally to appease them with nuts, to buy them things. All of that is mevatel the father from his Torah study. The Gemara asks, tinokish shel beis rabban yochichu, these are children that go to Beis Rabban is the school where young children are educated in Torah. Now, and yet these kind of children, young children that learn, that study, do suffer. And now they themselves aren't Mevatel Torah, and they don't cause others to be Mevatel either. So the Gemara answers, Hosam kiderebi guyan. To understand Askara befalling or afflicting Tinoikish Beis Rabban, we need Rabbi Gurin's teaching. The Amar Rabbi Gurin, Vitamar of Yosef, Rabbi Shmaya, Bizman Shah Tzadikim Bador, Tzadikim Nitposim Alador. If there is a generation that there are righteous in amongst the generation, so when punishment needs to be meted out, so the Tzadikim are sought out. They're sought for atoning, we'll say, for the sins of the generation. Ain tzadikim bedor? Let's say you have a generation where there are no people that are righteous, they be classified as pious. Tinokis shel beis rabban nitfasan al hador. So the children have to pay the price for the public's sin. Amar Rav Yitzchok bar Ze'iri, the Amri Law Omar Reb Shimon ben Nazira, my craw. What's the posuk that indicates that Tinokish Shel Beis Rabban could be nitfosan al ador? So the posuk says, Im lo seidi lo hayofa banoshim, tzi loch beikve hatzon, v'chulei. The Amrinon, and we explain, and this posuk made reference to the ikve hatzon. This is a reference to the gidoyim, the young goats, Hamemushkanim al haroim, that are sought out for payment concerning the shepherds. Meaning, if the people who are supposed to lead don't fulfill the mitzvahs, so the young ones who are in their charge are collected instead. The Rashi explains here, Imlo Seidi Lach, the Shmor mitzvah, say if you don't hearken unto the mitzvahs, Tzi Lach Uvakshi Rachamim, go out and pray for mercy, Bischus Ikve Hatzon, in the merit of the Ikve, the steps, the legs of the flock. What, who is the Ikve Hatzon? Ovois Horishonim Shu Ragli Hatzon, the original forefathers, the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are the legs of the flock. They support everyone, the chizukam, and strengthen them. Urei bezuchusan eskidiyosayech, and in their merit, so raise your goats, the young goats. Tinoikis shalach, shalo itafsu al mishkanos roim roi hador parnosov. So that if there's a situation where there is sinning, So you're going to have to go and pray for the welfare of the children to survive and not be collected because of the sins of the leadership. We continue in the Gemara. Shema Mina. From this entire passage that we've noted in our frame and the long question marking, we see the Reb Elozer Reb Yossi is associating Askara with the eating of Dvarim She'enem Mesukanim, which has to do with Maisris. So we conclude from this, Af al Loshen Hara Nami Ka'omar Shema Mina. This is like the Bay's possibility in the original question that he, Reb Elozer Reb Yossi, said his din of Askara befalling not only one who speaks Loshen Hara, but also one who violates Maisris. Here the Gemara refers to something else that was referred to earlier, and we have a little star that's coming up to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align the stars, and you'll see where this quote comes from. The Gemara asks, "V'amai korule roish amadar b'chol mokom?" Why was Reb Yehuda Reb Eloi referred to with this title, the chief speaker, the first speaker in all on all occasions? How did he get that title? So before we go on, let's say a general word about the Gemara that's going to come up. We're leading into the story that features Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who spent 12 straight years and an additional year afterwards in a cave with his son, Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon. Now, as we said, we're leading up to that story. But before we get to that, we're going to find out, what is Rosh HaMadar B'chol Mokom? How did he get that title? On the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have triangles that will be featured very shortly in the text. These are Da'atom Shel Shlosha Tanoim Al Malchus Romi, the opinions of three Tanoim regarding the Roman kingdom. So as we go on in the Gemara, we're seeking out an answer. We have a long answer marking. You can see the Tuflets encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. We should also note to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have written in the word Maisa and circled it and drew a descending vertical dashed line, which shows us the length of the Gemara that's dedicated to this particular Maisa. And as you can see, this goes till Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph, quite a few ways down from the top. It goes till the Mishnah on Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph. So now the Gemara. If you want to know why is Rabbi Yehuda Reb Eloi referred to as the Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Mokoim, the Yasvi, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, these three Tanoim were seated. V'yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayu, and Yehuda ben Gerim, name of another gentleman, was sitting in their presence. The Tosfos suggests the girsa of Rabbeinu Tam is Rebbe Yehuda ben Gerim. Posach Rabbi Yehuda v'yomar. Rabbi Yehuda opened and said, "Kama noyim maaseim she'umazu." How wonderful is this Roman Empire? Tiknu Shvokim, Tiknu Gisharim, Tiknu Merchatzos. They've established markets, they've built bridges, and they've set up bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi Shosak. Rabbi Yossi remained silent. Nene Rabbi Shimon Choy V'Omar. Kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu el tzurich atzmon. He says everything that they've established, they did with selfish interests in mind. Tiknu shvokim lohishiv bahen zaynus. They set up market areas so as to be a place for harlots to congregate and fetch their prey. Merchatzois ladein bahen atzman. They set up bathhouses for their own personal creature comfort. Gishorim litol mehem mechs. They set up bridges as a means of collecting taxes, of collecting tolls and enriching themselves. Holach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siper divrehem v'nishmeu l'malchus. Yehuda ben Gerim, he went and told over this discussion to his students or to his parents, but not with the intention of word getting to the civil authority, to the Romans. But yet, it got out anyway. As we say, the walls have ears. So it was this Yudah ben Gera. He told over the story with the three Rabbonim. The Nishmu l'Malchus, and word got to the kingdom. Omru, so they were not thrilled with everything that took place, but Rabbi Eloi, he said positive things. So they ruled Yudah she'ilah yisaleh. Rabbi Yudah, who raised our honor, so he will be made to be the chief spokesman. That's the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Mokim. That's Yisaleh. And you can see with our markings, we've dashed underlined this and squiggle underlined Yisaleh as well. That's what we were looking for. And hence you can see our long answer marking ends here. However, the story goes on. Yosi Sheshosak, it's a reference for Yosi who remained silent, Yigla Litzipori. So he was exiled from where he ordinarily lived to Tzipori, the name of a place. Shimon Shegino Yehareg. Shimon, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who spoke ill of us, of the Romans, so he's sentenced to death. Ozal hu ubrei. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai went along with his son, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Toshu be midrash, and they hid in the base medrash. Koyuma have a maisilu devisu rifta v'kuza demaya v'karchi. Every day, the wife of Shimon Yochai would bring bread and a flask of water, and they would eat that. Kitokiv Gezerta, when the screws got tighter on their edict, Omale Lebrei, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says to his son, Noshim Daiton Kala Lehem, the women are of light thought. This is an expression that needs to be explained with great clarity so as to be not to be misunderstood, but it has to do with women reacting quickly, not a function of women's lack of intellectual capacity, but rather it's a type of rapid thought process, and it could happen actually somewhat hastily at times. The term kal means light, and you see the expression kal kitzvi, light-footed like a deer. So it has to do with something that's rapid. Now, what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was afraid of is Dilma Mitzari law, Umeglalia law, they might subject her to pressure, and she will, out of the pain, she will reveal where we are, namely in the base medrash. Ozlu Toshi v'Marta. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son went and hid in a cave. As we said, they're trying to escape the death penalty that was placed on them. So they hid v'Marta in a cave. Israchi Shnisa, a miracle happened. Ivri Lahu Charuva v'Eina Demaya. A choruv tree sprouted forth, and a spring of water. And as far as preserving their clothing, they would actually take their clothing off from their lower body section and sit in dirt, covered. Kula Yoma Garsi, they learned Torah every day. Be'idan Sluye, when prayer time came. And we've seen a reference to this in Masech, earlier in this Masechta, actually, as a reference to Kriya Shema. So when the time to recite Kriya Shema came, Lovshu, Michsu, Umatzlu, they would clothe themselves, cover themselves with clothing, and then say the prayer, V'hodar Mishalchi Minayu, Kiyechi Delo Livlonen. They would strip themselves again of their clothing so that it wouldn't get worn out. Esfu Tresu Shoni B'Marta. They sat like that 12 years in the cave. Also Elio Koma Pisro D'Marta. Elio Anovi came and stood at the entrance of the cave, Omar, and he announced, Man Lode Labar Yochoi D'Miz Keser U'Botil Gezerte. Who will tell Rav Shimon Bar Yochoi that the emperor died and his edicts are rescinded, which was a common practice, that when the one who issued edicts would die, so his edicts were also rescinded. So who will tell Rav Shimon that he's no longer in mortal danger? Nafku chazu inshi. They emerged and they from their hiding, and they saw people. They call karvi vizari. They saw them plowing their fields and planting their fields. Omar, and he said, Manichim chayolim v'oskim b'chayisho. Could it be that they would abandon something that promises eternal existence and engage in mundane activities that preserve life only from here to now? Namely, Torah study affords a person eternity. That's chay olam. And yet they're engaged in plowing their fields and planting. And this is Rav Shimon Bar Yochoi l'shitaso, and Rashi points this out, that as far as caring for the land, for producing income, the Nochrim can take care of that. They're not, the Nochrim, the Gentiles, are not mitzvah in Torah study. So let them take care of the food production, and we will engage in Torah study. So this is what they saw. They saw people tending to their day-to-day living in the fields. Komokom shenos nemeinam miyad nisraf. Wherever they gazed, that area got scorched. Of course, we're dealing with something of either a figurative nature or a miraculous nature, but wherever they looked, burnt up. Yotzabasko the omer lahem, a heavenly voice came forth and said to them, La'achrev oylomi yotzasem, what, did you exit the cave to now destroy my world? Chizru l'maraschem, go back into the cave. Hodur ozol esivu treser yachisho. So they went back in the cave and sat for another 12 months. In other words, another year. This is after 12 years of being in hiding, they went back in the cave for one more year. Amri, they said, Mishpat rishoyim begehenim, yud beis chodesh. The length of judgment of even the wicked does not exceed 12 months. So being that they suffered another cave experience for 12 months, that's it. In other words, even the most wicked don't suffer in purgatory for more than 12 months. Yotso Vasko Vyomra Tsu Mimaraschem. Exit the cave. Nafku, and they exited. Kolhechada Avemochi Rebelozer Avemosi Rebbe Shimon. Wherever Rebelozer had inflicted destruction, he Rebbe Shimon healed. Omar Lo Bini. So Rebbe Shimon Chois turns to his son and says, my son, Dai Lo'olam Ani Vato. It's enough, even if there's me and you, to engage in Torah study. After all, they were critical of the fact that people were engaged in pursuing their livelihoods when they could have been studying Torah. And as far as livelihood is concerned, and that which is provided, so the Nochrim would take care of that. So he says, look, it's enough that you and I are learning Torah. Badi panya de male shabata chozuahu sabo davi nokid tre madoni aso beroyed beinash moshes. On an occasion, it was a Friday afternoon, and there was a hahu sab, an old man, that was holding two bundles of aso or hadas, myrtle branches, beroyed beinash moshes. He was running as Shabbos was about to set in. Amrulei, honey, lomaloch. They, Shubachoy and his son asked the man, "What are you these for?" Amalohu lechvoy Shabbos. I need it to honor the Shabbos. And Rashi points out that they were used for their sweet scent, the pleasant aroma that they produced. They asked the man that held the two bundles, v'tiski loch b'chad, why not suffice with one bunch? Answer, he answers, chad keneged zohar v'chad keneged shomar, one in honor of the positive command of keeping the Shabbos, and which is in the Aser Sadibus in Parshas Yisro in Sefer Shmois, and the other bundle is in honor of Shomar, which is in Sefer Dvorim, where they have the second set of Ten Commandments, and it says, you shall keep the Shabbos, which is a reference to the negative commands of Shabbos, the prohibitions. Amalei Lebrei, Sir Shem Baruch Hu said to his son, Chazi kamo chaviven mitzvahs al Yisrael. Look how fond and beloving the Jewish people are of their mitzvahs. Look how they extend themselves to honor the Shabbos down to the most minute detail. So Yosef Zatayu, that comforted them, and they felt okay. Shama Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer Chasne, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, the son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he heard about their emerging from the cave, the Nofak Lape, and he went out to greet them. Aile Lebe Bone, Pilchus Bone sent his father-in-law into the bathhouse. After all, you're in the cave without showering, so you need to take care of yourself. Havako Misakin Le Lebisre, he was tending to his flesh. Chosi Davu Be Pili Begufe, he saw that Rav Shimon Rechoy's flesh was full of cracks. Havakabochi, he was very saddened by his physical state. Vekonasru dimas ene, and as a result, his tears dripped onto the flesh of Rav Shimon Rechoy. Vekomas v'cha lei, and it caused him to scream in pain. Amalei oili shuasicho b'kach. Pilchas ben Yoyer says, woe unto me that I have to see you in this state. Amalei Shimon Rechoy answers back, Ashrecha shuasicho b'kach. Fortunate are you to see me thusly. Shemolei l'risani b'kach. If you wouldn't have seen me in this state, lo matzosa b'kach, you wouldn't have found the great intellectual increase that I was able to achieve. In other words, that you see me in this mournful or sad physical state, but it simply reflects, or it shows what incredible intellectual and spiritual heights I was able to reach. So you're fortunate, and you see me like this. The Gemara illustrates how much he grew in his exile in the cave. The Meikora ki hava makshir Shimon bar Yochai kusha. Originally, when Rav Shimon bar Yochai would raise a question, hava farkle Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer treiser piruki. Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer was capable of offering 12 different answers to Rav Shimon bar Yochai's question. L'soif ki hava makshi Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer kusha. And now, when Prince Yor would raise a question, Havim Farakler of Shimon bar Yochai, Esrin va'arboa piruki. He was now able to answer his questions with 24 different responses. Omar, Hoyo Visrachish Niso, Ezel Askin Milso. So Prince Shimon bar Yochai says, since a miracle has been wrought for me, I am now going to make something, some positive contribution to society. This is the concept of askin milsa, ta'atikun atakona, to do something positive for the public. And where did he get this idea from? Dechti vayovo yankiv sholem. V'omar rav sholem begufo, sholem b'mamono, sholem b'toroso. Yankiv, after his troubles, he came forth complete in his body, in his wealth, and in his Torah. Rashi says, Sholem Begufo, Shinisrapa meet Solosa. This is after the incident where he had encountered the angel of the Soros Shel Esav, who caused Yaakov Avinu to limp. So this pasuk is referring to his being healed from that handicap. And it says there by Yankiv, it says, Vayichan es penei ha'ir. Omar Rav, matbea tiken lahem. Ushmu Omar, shvokim tiken lahem. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, merchatzoes tiken lahem. The term Vayichan, so Rashi explains, or two pshatim on this. One is divrei chein v'chanoya, pleasant, something an issue of pleasantry. And v'linira, Rashi has another pshat at the very bottom line, vayiken eschelkas hasode lashon tikun. So that he seems that Rashi is interchanging the word vayiken, vayichan with vayiken. The ches and the kuf would be interchangeable, but it's a lashon of making some type of enactment or improvement. And here we have three pshatim in the Gemara. Rav says that Yankiv established for the people of Shechem, he established a coinage, and Shmuel says he established some type of commercial setup, marketplaces, and Rabbi Yochanan says he built for them bathhouses. That is as far as Yankiv Avinu and what he did to acknowledge his salvation, his miraculous salvation from his encounter with Esav and the Soros Shel Esav. Omar, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, then turns to the people and says, Iko milso deboi liskuni, is there something here that needs to be fixed? So that, as we said a moment before, we saw how Yankiv Avinu, we saw three pshatim and what Yankiv Avinu did for the people of Shechem. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, following in Yankiv Avinu's footsteps, says, is there anything I can do for you? Omrulei, iko duchto diis be sofek tumo. There is a place where there is where doubt has arisen concerning defilement as a result of contact with the dead. And the Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. The is lehu tsara lekehanim lakufi. The fact that there's this area of sofek tuma, and kehanim are warned against encountering the tuma. As a result of this, the kehanim have to go out of their way to circumvent the area that to get around the area that the tuma was in. So Omar, Rabbi Shimon Choy says, Iko Inish, is there anyone, the Yoda, the Ischazik, Hocha, Taro, is there anyone that can say regarding some part of this public area that has the Suffolk, this Tuma doubt in it, is there anyone that could testify about any part of it as being definitely Tohor? Omale Hahu Sabo, so an old man came and said, Kan Kitzetz Ben Zakai Turmuse Truma. He pointed to a certain spot, to an area of the shuk, of the marketplace, and says that years before, Ben Zakai, possibly Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai, he had harvested and tended to, we'll say in general terms, turmuse is a type of vegetation that was truma. Truma turmusin. So, and truma is something that needs to be kept in a state of non-defilement, in a state of purity. So, in pointing out an area of the shuk that Ben Zakkai was handling, truma turmusin, that shows that it is a tohor place. So, avad ihu nami hachi. So, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai also practiced like that. And he was Mekatzitz Turmusin and in that area. Katsi, as we said before, he cut Tormusim or chopped Tormusim in that area. Now Rashi says, Ovat Ihunami Hochi, he also was Makatsets Tormusin. And where he threw the Tormusim, a miracle happened. V'tzof hames b'mokum shusham, and the miraculously corpses that were there floated to the surface. V'tzainu l'mokum hakever, and they were able to delineate there or mark it as a place where there is a grave, thereby making it clear to the kehanim exactly where not to walk, and the rest of the place would be Tuma free. The Gemara continues, Kolhechal davukoshi, any part of the ground that was hard, sign that it was never dug up, Tare, he declared it to be Tohor. The Kolhechal davukorofi, Tsaine, and wherever the ground was soft, he would mark it off as a place that there might be Tuma there. Omar Husaba. So we saw this Hahusaba on the second line from the top, and here we see him again, and he says something in a derisive way. He says, "Tiher ben Yochoi beis hakvoros." He says, "Rav Shimon Yochoi was metayer a cemetery." As is, that's a very cynical remark, but he was criticizing Rav Shimon Yochoi's way of dealing with the area that posed a problem for the Kohanim. Now, what's problematic here is that this Hahusaba, who was himself part of the purification process, he was the one that testified regarding the area that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai used to cut the Truma Tormusin. And this upset Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai here at the outset. He was on our side, so to speak, and now he turns into our enemy. Omale, so Shimon Choy says, Ilmole hoiso imonu, v'afilu hoiso imonu, v'lo nimes imonu. If you were with us, and didn't participate in the decision making, so what you're saying is okay, it's acceptable. You want to criticize me? I'm open to criticism. However, you were together with our efforts and were part of the decision-making process, and you were in establishing places that were definitely tahor. That's where you originally were. You were originally with us in the decision-making process, and now you're turning on us. Yomru, people are going to say, Zoinois mefachasois zu ezu, tamini chachomim lo kol shekein. Now, here we'll try to paraphrase this before getting into anything of a literal nature, but people will say, mind you, harlots are able to get along with one another. You would expect all the more so from tamini chachomim. And here, look, they can't work things out amongst themselves. the literal translation you'll find in Rashi, Mefachasa Zuazu, Es Seor Chaverta Liosnoye. The Zonos, the harlots, help one another in looking good, in tending to each other's hair. Mefachasa has to do with making up one's hair. So, mind you, the Zonos take care of each other. Tamid Chomim should be able all the more so to take care of each other, not turn their backs on one another like you just did. Yoav be'enei v'noch nafshei. So Shimon Choy gave him a stare, a look, and this Hahusaba died. Nofak l'shuka. He then, Rav Shimon Choy then went out to the public area. Chazei l'Yudah ben Gerim. And then he encountered Yudah ben Gerim, who was indirectly responsible for all of the trouble and travails that befell Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Omar, and Rav Shimon Yochai, after so many years of not having seen him, says, Adayin yesh lozeh b'olam, is this guy still alive? Nosan bo einov, v'aso gal shelatzamos. He gave him the look that we just made reference to above with the Ahusaba, and he died. What's very interesting over here is that Rav Shimon bar Yochai mentioned to his son-in-law Pinchas ben Yoyer that the exile experience led to his very great growth. However, on the other hand, it was a very painful experience. It's true the results were great, but the pain that he had to go through is something that could not be forgiven, so to speak. And apparently that upset Reb Shimon Choy very much so, and hence his encounter with Yehuda ben Gerim resulted in the latter's demise. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.